Ekhatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekhatra AI. Okay, let's unpack this. I mean, look at the headlines today or, you know, listen to almost any political discussion. You're almost guaranteed to hear about decline, chaos, crisis.
Yeah, there's this really deep, widespread feeling that the world is just spiraling downward.
Exactly. Our source material actually calls this attitude progressophobia. It's pervasive.
And that feeling, that sort of cultural pessimism, it's incredibly powerful, isn't it? It really shapes our decisions, our anxiety.
Totally. But what if that feeling, that gut intuition about decline, what if it was fundamentally, well, disconnected from reality?
And that's the radical central claim we're diving into today. It comes straight from Steven Pinker's big work, Enlightenment Now.
Right. Our mission here is pretty simple. We're going to confront that emotional, that widespread anxiety with something maybe a bit colder, but hard, verifiable data.
Lots of data.
We're examining Pinker's massive analysis, which basically argues that progress isn't just some nice ideal. It's real, it's measurable, and crucially, it's still continuing.
Yeah, and Pinker's approach here is really unique. He's not arguing for some naive, you know, head-in-the-sand optimism. Not at all.
Yeah.
He champions what he calls rational optimism, and it's based purely on empirical evidence. He uses his background in cognitive science, his historical perspective, and just rigorous data analysis to show that actually humanity is experiencing unprecedented prosperity, health, safety, really overall well-being.
Okay, so maybe let's start there. Why is Pinker the right person to deliver this kind of intellectual challenge to all that pessimism?
Well, he's the John Stone Family Professor of Psychology at Harvard. He's a cognitive scientist. And that background is absolutely key.
How so?
Because Pinker understands that we humans are, frankly, inherently terrible at assessing long-term risk and long-term trends. It's just how our brains are wired. So his expertise really lies in dissecting those cognitive biases, the mental shortcuts that cause us to systematically misperceive reality and often believe things are much worse than they actually are.
It feels like a natural extension of his earlier work, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Better Angels of Our Nature.
Absolutely. That book used scientific data to demonstrate that violence has declined dramatically over millennia.
And this book, Enlightenment, it basically takes that same scientific method and just applies it everywhere, to pretty much every measure of human flourishing you can think of.
Exactly. And he connects that empirical reality back to its source, what he sees as the philosophical engine of all this progress. Pinker asserts that the progress we observe wasn't just accidental. It was driven by a very specific set of four core ideals, ideas that really emerged from the 18th century Enlightenment.
Okay, so these are like the pillars holding up modern success. What are they?
So first, there's reason. That means prioritizing logical thought and evidence over, say, dogma, tradition, or superstition. Second, science, which is really the systematic application of reason to understand and ultimately master the natural world.
Okay. Reason, science.
Third, humanism. This is the moral conviction that the ultimate purpose of all human effort should be to reduce suffering and enhance the flourishing of all individuals equally. Their well-being is the goal.
And the fourth one.
The fourth is the belief in progress itself. The very idea that applying these other three tools, reason, science, humanism, can actually make life better over time, not just, you know, maintain the status quo or manage decline.
So it's not just what happened, but why it happened, according to Pinker.
Precisely. And this leads him to this really profound concept he calls the cosmic conflict. He frames progress not as something inevitable or easy. Far from it.
Right. It's a struggle.
It's an active, constant fight against the fundamental nature of the universe itself. The universe, left to its own devices, tends towards entropy. That's disorder, decay, decline. It's the second law of thermodynamics, basically.
So things fall apart naturally.
Exactly. And human effort applied through knowledge and intelligence, that's the anti-entropic force, progresses us locally, reversing that universal decay. And it takes deliberate, continuous effort just to maintain it, let alone advance it.
Wow. Okay. That idea really shifts progress from being some kind of given to, well, a grand historical project we have to keep working on.
Precisely.
Okay. Let's maybe leave the philosophy there for a moment and jump right into the facts, because this is the segment where the data really starts to clash with those depressing headlines we see every day.
Yeah. The aha moment, maybe.
And probably the most powerful place to start is just the basic fact of being alive.
The health.
Oh, absolutely.
Louis.
The change in human health is maybe the single most staggering empirical victory he documents. Pinker highlights that global life expectancy has more than doubled since the Enlightenment era began.
Doubled. That's incredible.
It is. For most of human history, you were honestly lucky to make it past 30. Now, the global average is over 71 years. Just think about the sheer magnitude of that. That's not just a dry statistic, right? That's billions and billions of person years reclaimed from disease, from early death.
Yeah, and as you point out, it's driven overwhelmingly by science and reason. Sanitation, vaccines, better nutrition.
And the decline in child mortality alone. I mean, arguably, that's the greatest single moral achievement in human history, wouldn't you say?
I think you could make a very strong case for that. Absolutely. The number of children who survive past their fifth birthday, it's perhaps the clearest, simplest metric of whether a society is actually flourishing.
Okay, so health is a huge win. What about sustenance?
Yeah.
Wealth. Because for centuries, you had thinkers predicting that population growth would inevitably outstrip resources. Mm-hmm. Mass starvation was seen as, well, almost inevitable.
The Malthusian nightmare, yeah. Pinker shows it just never materialized on the scale predicted.
Why not?
Well, because of science, again. Primarily the Green Revolution. Things like high-yield seeds, efficient farming techniques. They massively increased food production, dramatically outpacing population growth.
So we figured out how to feed ourselves better.
We did. Famine, while it's still utterly tragic where it occurs, is no longer the systemic, unavoidable global threat it once was for most of humanity.
And tied closely to that is what Pinker calls the great escape, right? The escape from extreme poverty.
Exactly. The percentage of the world's population living on less than, say, a dollar to a day, adjusted for inflation, it's plummeted.
It really has. I mean, within our lifetimes, the vast majority of humanity has actually escaped that grinding extreme poverty, thanks mostly to things like global markets, technology, economic growth.
It's a stunning transformation, often missed in the day-to-day news cycle.
Okay, so health, wealth.
Yeah.
What about safety? Peace. That feels like another area where people feel things are getting worse, not better.
And yet, if we connect this to safety and peace, the long-term picture is actually quite similar. Drawing on the data from his earlier work, Better Angels, Pinker confirms this long-term decline in violence and conflict.
So, fewer wars.
Deaths from wars between states, yes, have dropped dramatically since 1945. There's a clear peace dividend, likely delivered by things like economic interdependence, maybe stronger international institutions, democratic norms spreading.
But, and this is a big but for many people, let's address a major modern anxiety head on. Terrorism. Because the media coverage is so constant, so intense, I think many of you listening might genuinely feel less safe today than, say, 20 years ago.
Understandably so, given the headlines. But Pinker's data is really crucial here for maintaining a rational perspective. While terrorism is absolutely terrifying and tragic for the victims,
of course,
he shows that, statistically speaking, especially in Western nations, terrorist attacks kill far fewer people than many routine risks you face daily. Things like common homicides or even certain types of accidents.
So the fear is disproportionate to the actual risk.
That's the insight, yes. The psychological fear generated by terrorism is wildly disproportionate to the statistical reality for most people. Pinker argues that the media dynamic, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. It systematically weaponizes our hardwired cognitive biases. It makes us feel dangerously unsafe, even when the long-term data points towards greater overall security than in the past.
Okay, but that need for balance, for nuance, it also means acknowledging that serious challenges definitely remain. Pinker is rigorously honest about this, isn't he? He doesn't just dismiss concerns.
Not at all. He directly tackles the two biggest contemporary concerns that critics often raise against this narrative of progress: inequality and the environment.
Right. Inequality certainly feels like a major counterpoint, especially when you see the gap widening between the super rich and, say, the average citizen in places like the U.S. or the U.K.
And Pinker concedes that point directly. Inequality has risen within many wealthy nations. That's measurable.
So how does he square that with progress?
He asks us to look bigger at the global picture. He argues that global inequality, that's inequality measured across all the people of the world, not just within one country, has actually been decreasing.
How?
Because poorer nations, particularly in Asia, have been rapidly catching up to the West in terms of wealth and living standards. So while the gap might widen inside rich countries, the gap between the average person in a rich country and the average person in a poor country has been shrinking.
Interesting. So for Pinker, the critical moral metric is?
It's the progress in absolute well-being. The fact that billions of people are escaping extreme poverty, living healthier, longer lives. For him, that represents undeniable human progress, even if relative inequality within specific wealthy countries remains a significant political and social problem to be addressed there.
Okay, that's inequality. What about the environment? Climate change is often presented as the ultimate threat, the one that could basically undo all these positive statistics Pinker presents. How does the rational optimist tackle that?
Well, first off, he treats climate change as a severe and genuine threat. He's not a denier, not minimizing it. He calls it out as a serious challenge produced by our success.
Okay.
But then he provides evidence for optimism, and optimism rooted in the same tools that got us here, technology and institutions. He points to the Montreal Protocol as a key example.
That was the treaty about the ozone layer, right?
Exactly. The international treaty that successfully phased out ozone-depleting chemicals. It worked. And Pinker sees it as the template for global problem solving. It worked because science identified the problem and created alternatives, and international institutions enforced the solution.
So he's basically saying we solve climate change using the same enlightenment tools, reason and science, that helped solve things like sanitation issues or major diseases.
That's the core argument. Exactly. He also cites other positive environmental trends, like improving air and water quality in many developed nations once they reach a certain level of wealth.
Is that the environmental Kuznets curve idea?
Yes, that's the concept. The idea that as societies get richer, they initially pollute more, but then they hit a tipping point where they start investing heavily in clean technology and environmental regulation, leading to a long-term decline in pollution. It suggests development can eventually lead to environmental improvement.
So problems are solvable.
That's his mantra. Problems are inevitable, but problems are solvable. He strongly advocates for making consumption cleaner through innovation, not for some kind of impossible Luddite halt to progress itself.
Okay. So given all this, you know, overwhelmingly positive data across so many areas, why do we struggle so much to actually see this progress, or at least to feel it? Why does every new crisis feel like the sky is falling?
Now we're back to Pinker, the cognitive scientist.
Right. This is his home turf.
It really is. And it comes down fundamentally to our evolutionary wiring. We suffer from, well, at least two major cognitive biases that skew our perception here.
Okay. What are they?
The first one is the negativity bias. Our brains literally evolved to prioritize threats and bad news over good news.
Why? Survival?
Survival. Historically, missing one potential threat, a predator, a rival tribe, could mean death. Missing a piece of good news, less critical for immediate survival. So bad news grabs our attention much more strongly.
Okay, negativity bias. What's the second one?
The availability heuristic. This means we tend to overestimate the likelihood and frequency of things that are easily recalled from memory. And what's easily recalled? Dramatic, vivid events, especially those recently and repeatedly covered by the media.
Like plane crashes or terrorist attacks.
Exactly. They stick in our minds far more readily than, say, the slow, gradual statistical decline in poverty or disease over decades.
And the media system, maybe unintentionally, just exploits this perfectly. Pinker has that great line, something like, news is about things that happen, not things that don't happen.
Yes, it's brilliant. As things generally improve, like another war doesn't break out, or millions of children don't die from diseases they used to die from, those non-events are, by definition, not news. No one reports on the plane that landed safely.
Right. So the constant stream we get is inevitably skewed towards the negative, the dramatic, the exceptional.
It creates a systematically misleading picture of the world. We end up focusing on the constant flow of singular negative events, and we become blind to the much larger long-term positive trend lines. We mistake the scary exception for the statistical rule.
But, and this feels important, Pinker isn't advocating for just, you know, sitting back, relaxing, thinking everything's fine and will take care of itself.
Absolutely not. He strongly reminds us that progress is fragile. It is not some unstoppable force of nature or historical destiny.
He uses that powerful quote, doesn't he? Progress is not a force of nature. It is a gift.
Yes, a gift that has to be earned and defended. It's not guaranteed at all. It requires constant effort, constant maintenance, and defense of those effective institutions we talked about.
Things like
the World Health Organization, funding for scientific research, democratic processes, global cooperation treaties, rule of law. If we abandon those core Enlightenment values, reason, science, humanism, or if we let those institutions decay, progress can absolutely be reversed. We've seen it happen before in history.
So it's optimism, but it's a vigilant optimism.
Yep.
an active one.
Rational optimism, yeah. Not complacent optimism.
Okay, so let's try to bring this home for you, the listener. How can you actually apply this perspective, Pinker's rational optimism, to your own life and how you understand the world?
Well, I think the first step is consciously trying to adopt an evidence-based mindset. That means really committing to seeking out reliable long-term trend data, looking for that statistical long view, rather than just reacting impulsively to the latest anecdote or emotional headline.
So question the crisis narrative. Ask for the numbers.
Exactly. Demand the quantitative proof over the alarming story. See if the story reflects the trend or is an outlier.
Okay, what else?
Second, try to maintain a rational perspective. Use this historical context, this understanding of long-term progress, to keep your composure during crises. It helps you distinguish more clearly between, say, media-driven panic about relatively low-probability events.
Like maybe shark attacks.
Right. Versus genuine, large-scale, long-term threats like climate change, which do require serious, measured strategic policy responses based on evidence, not despair or denial.
Makes sense. Evidence-based mindset, rational perspective, anything else?
And finally, maybe the most active part, recognizing the importance of supporting institutions. Every single measure of progress Pinker details, from the health breakthroughs to increasing global peace, it all depends fundamentally on supporting and defending the institutions and the research bodies that actually facilitate that problem solving and promote humanism.
So understanding that progress isn't magic, it relies on these structures we've built.
Structures that need tending. They need funding, they need defending against attacks based on dogma or anti-rational thinking.
So Pinker really offers us this profound choice, doesn't he? We can choose to shift away from that pervasive cultural pessimism, which is fueled by our own cognitive biases, and maybe an alarmist media environment.
And shift towards a rational optimism, an optimism based squarely on evidence and data. He really urges us to celebrate the fact that human effort, guided by reason and humanism, has succeeded time and again in creating order out of chaos and improving lives on a massive scale.
Yeah, it's a powerful reminder, I think, of what humanity can actually achieve when we apply knowledge specifically for a moral purpose.
Mm.
The enhancement of human flourishing, reducing suffering.
Indeed. It puts the focus on what works.
Which brings us perfectly to our final provocative thought for you to maybe chew on after this. Pinker argues, quite forcefully, that humanism, that core belief that the ultimate moral purpose is to reduce suffering and enhance flourishing for all, is the essential moral foundation of progress. You accept that premise, if that's true, what single policy or institution or maybe even just a local initiative that demonstrably advances human flourishing? What one thing will you actively support or defend based on the kind of evidence we've covered today?
Yeah. What part of that engine of progress will you help maintain? Something to ponder, maybe, as you navigate tomorrow's inevitable deluge of headlines.
Definitely something to think about.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the empirical case for human progress based on Steven Pinker's Enlightenment Now.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.